have another one of those very simple messages. Glory to God. You know, God had a way of making difficult things, very complicated things, very simple. Amen. With parables. And I think that's the way we should approach the Word of God. God, just give me insight. Amen. Glory to God. If you'll turn to 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, verse number 9, very familiar scripture to most of you. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. A lot of times I skip the last part of that scripture. It says, herein thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. His eyes are always looking at you, at me. He's looking for the perfect heart, something that will agree with him, submit to him. But if not, maybe there will be a war. Genesis 4 and 7, God speaking to Cain about his offering. He didn't have respect for Cain's offering because of his attitude. And then God says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Or sin desires to have you, but you must master sin on your own. If you do this, I'll take care of that. Title of my message tonight is Cause and Effect. There's always an effect on what we do. Lord, we ask your blessing on your word, your anointing upon it. God, that our ears would hear and our hearts would respond, that we could bless you by being obedient and say yes. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you then turn to Leviticus, the 26th chapter, starting in verse number 3, it says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give you peace in the land. And ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemy, and they shall fall before you by the sword. All the stuff that we want, God says, I want to give it to you. If you walk in my statutes, if you keep my commandments, a relationship between events and where the results of what actions you take, that's really the thing that happens in our life every day. It's the combination of action and reaction. Something happens, the cause, that leads to an effect. So everything that we do has an effect on our life. Good gets good. Bad gets bad. Examples. You know, I never brush my teeth. I don't know why I have cavities. I didn't study for the test. I can't believe I didn't pass. I smoked for 20 years. Why would I have cancer? He wasn't very careful on his skateboard. How does that cast feel? Cause and effect. You know, I eat whatever I want. I'm not feeling so good lately. You know, there's a result in everything that we do. Cause and effect. We've all experienced it. But in the realm of the spirit, there also is cause and effect. We have to understand that. There are laws of nature, but there's a law in the spiritual realm. If we do certain things, we can expect certain things, you see. There are laws that govern the natural world as well as laws that govern the spiritual world. Now, only God can suspend the laws of this world, and he has, extending daylight and doing things that just against nature, stopping the storms from happening. He will do that at the time of the rapture. You know, what he's going to do is suspend gravity. There will be no more gravity. And then all of a sudden, we're going to rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. But until then, what goes up is going to come down. Amen. Isaac Newton discovered the principle of gravity when an apple fell on his head. What a brilliant individual, you know. Glory to God. And everything that goes up comes down. It's a natural principle, but there's also a spiritual application to that. Touch a hot stove and you're going to get burnt. Cause and effect. But some people think that this principle doesn't apply to their spiritual realm. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8 and verse 11. Solomon's saying this, and he's the wisest and probably the richest man who ever lived on the face of the earth. He says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is set full in them to do evil. You know? I didn't live for God completely, and obviously he didn't strike me dead, so maybe that's not such a big thing. Verse number 12 says, though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. I know that if I live God, godly, if I try to walk in his statutes, I know there's going to be a protection there. I know there's going to be a blessing there. But if I willfully sin after I come to the knowledge of truth, my Bible says that there remaineth no more sacrifice for me. You know, I'm on my own, and there's going to be consequences as a result of that. I remember reading some years ago in the early 80s in a small town in Australia, people were left speechless because fish began to fall from the sky. They had pictures of people picking up fish off of the street in this very remote area that didn't even have any water near it. Anyone could see that this truly is a miracle. Fish falling from the sky. Anyone ever receive money that they didn't expect to get? You know? Anyone ever get a promotion or a bonus that they really didn't feel that they were worthy of? You know? Hallelujah. I always check the fish if I go fishing to see if there's any gold coins in it. You know? Because you just never know. Hallelujah. Meteorologist said the incident was probably caused by a tornado which sucked up the water hundreds of miles away and then dropped the fish into this little town. One lady says, I am so grateful that it didn't rain alligators, you know. It's a law of nature. What goes up must come down. Now I know God can suspend these laws. He did for Elijah. He was caught up in a whirlwind and never came back down. Where did the manna come from that that was on the ground every morning. I don't understand how God did it, but I know he changed the law of nature in order to do it. Now, water must evaporate and go up before rain can come down. You know, I hear about all of these floods and all of these droughts and all of these storms and all of these fires and all of these things. Thank God I live in Wisconsin. You know, really, we have had an outstanding summer, you know. So what is true in the natural is also true in the spiritual. Unless something goes up, nothing comes down. Send up Judah. Glory to God. Blessings of God can't come down unless praises go up. Is this too complicated? You know, it's a hard concept to understand, but it just works, folks. It really does. Some might say, I have not felt the presence of God like I used to. Well, have you been sending something up? It's God's law. Church, we can't just show up and say, God bless me real good tonight. You know? Hallelujah. I've had a bad, bad week. Just bless me real good. Sorry, it can't come down if something doesn't go up. Hallelujah. God, send me some nice-sized fish. Well, have you stirred up some wind? Have you done something in order to get what you want from God? Oh, God, I need a raise on the job. I need a real financial blessing. All right, what have you given lately? Hallelujah. You know, but I read my Bible, and I come to church, and I'm sorry, you can't get a blessing unless you are a blessing. It's just the rules are there, you see. Luke 6 and 38, it says this, give, this is Jesus, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men, your employer, customer, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I believe that. I really do. What is sent up will come back greater, greater, more, and blessed. It's God's law. You've got to do it God's way. You can't circumvent it. Well, but I did it this way. I'm sorry. It doesn't work your way. It's got to be God's way. Amen. Reading Acts 2 and 38 doesn't get you saved. But responding to Acts 2 and 38 will get you saved. Just having the sermon doesn't do anything unless you allow the sermon to focus and saturate your heart. I want God to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on me and my family. Please protect me from harm. God says, no problem. That's what I wanted to do. Please send something up so I can do it. I want to, but see, you've neglected some principles, and I can't until you do what my Bible, what my word says. Hallelujah. All right, turn to Malachi, if you will, third chapter, verse number 6. This is a principle that is such a blessing. So many people are afraid of it. And why? Because perhaps they just don't trust God. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And God says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, cause and effect, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will not open, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Cause and effect. You do this, God does that. We do a little, God does a lot. And verse 11 is part of the best part. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Your refrigerator will last longer, your dishwasher, your car won't break down. Amen. You believe that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's cause and effect. If you will, God will. There is always a contingency or prerequisite to God's blessings. It just because we walk into church doesn't mean that we are blessed the way God wants us to be blessed. There are 1,420 ifs in the Bible. The first if in the Bible was in Genesis 4 and 7. He said to Cain, if thou doest well. Hey, Cain, here's my conditions for your blessing. You want to be accepted? This is what you have to do. A condition put on men to be accepted by God, one of the best-known ifs in the Bible, is found in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. We read it all of the time. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us folks, shall humble themselves and pray and shall seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. God goes on to say in verse 15, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. So if I humble myself, if I follow his statutes, my eyes, my ears are going to be open. I want to give you, so badly do I want to give you. If. What a promise. But it's all conditional. It's God's way or frustration sometimes. Because we read the promises and then we don't only receive the promises. James 4 and 2 says, ye have not because you ask not. Now that's just dumb. You got a need. Well, God knows what my need is. Well, did you ask him? Did you thank him for what you didn't get yet? You know, that causes God to move, you see. We greatly underestimate the value of prayer. We really do. We put a lot of highlight on worship because worship is, it's fun. It's very enjoyable. Prayer, not so much, you know, because it's just not as much fun. I pray and I don't feel the presence of God like I do when I'm worshiping God. You know, so we could get the idea that, well, God just wants me to worship, forget the prayer stuff. You know, hallelujah. What happens here on Saturday morning is, it's just incredible. Angels are dispatched from this place because we're asking God to do some things, not necessarily always for us, but for other people. And God is so well pleased, we're sending something up. So he can dispatch angels, so he can do what he wants to do. You see, without prayer, God can't do what he wants to do. It's not an option for Christians or just an exercise that we do. God sends rain based on what goes up. There is not one of us here that doesn't want our family saved, that we don't want blessings in our life and protections in our life, but something has to go up in order to see God's hand on our family, you know? Glory to God. If we don't teach home Bible studies, people aren't going to get the message and they're not going to get saved. It's not enough to say, God, send somebody. No, there's cause and effect. You go out, you talk, you teach, and all of a sudden there is a harvest. You know, the farmer gets 40 acres and they're fine acres and it's good soil and the weather is wonderful and the rain is there. But if they never plant the crop, it's never going to come up. Hallelujah. I think the concept sometimes is we're having great church. We've got a beautiful sanctuary. We've got some great music. We even sometimes have some good preaching. And why aren't people coming? I don't think I've ever taught a Bible study that somebody didn't get saved in. Some people that I look at thinking, now, I've got faith, but I don't know if they could get saved. And then they get saved because they heard, my word will not return unto me void. There's something special about God says that we need to teach them cause and effect. Yeah. Hallelujah. It can't be just about me having a good time in church. Please don't turn me off. But there has to be somebody who is willing to do something in order to see a soul saved. I remember probably one of the greatest missionaries, Sister Jenny Miller, went to Germany, went to Asia, and she saved more people through Bible studies more than any of the missionaries. She had a list of people that she met here and there, and she would constantly call them. You know, sometimes we get the mindset, I talked to them once, you know, they didn't respond. She was like a hound on a rabbit. I mean, how are you doing? What are you doing? When are you coming to church? I've been praying for you. And you know, as a result, cause and effect. Just because your family rejected it once doesn't mean that they can't get saved. Hallelujah. Zechariah 10:1 says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the fields. They were praying for 10 days in the upper room. Why didn't God just do it the first day? But 10 days. Was it inconvenient? Mm-hmm. Well, I got a job to go to. I've got things to do. You know, there's stuff at home that hasn't been taken care of, but I'm going to stay with this because Jesus said, go in an upper room and tarry there, and you shall be endued with power. Well, 120 stayed, 380 decided they weren't. The wind started to blow, and the rain came in the form of the Holy Ghost and fell on each and every one of them because they were sending up so much. Acts 2:17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, those are the days we're living in, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Well, in the last days, we need to be praying more. Is this too hard for you? Hallelujah. There's a responsibility I have. There's a responsibility that you have. This church will move on its knees. Glory to God. 10 days of prayer, and then it started to rain, and then it started to pour, and then it started to bless, and all of a sudden, you know, there's 3,000 and then 5,000 people that are filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Amen. I'm not looking for another program. I'm not looking for a special evangelist to come. I'm looking for everybody to get involved in what God wants them to do. And then there is a cause and there's an effect, and all of a sudden there's blessings in your life. I looked at the weather forecast for today, and it said a 91% chance of rain. And I'm glad it rained. I really am. You know, we've had a great summer. But God's forecast for tonight is 100% chance of rain. 100% chance. Glory to God. My wife and I were talking after lunch this afternoon that there were times when our altar would be filled with people weeping, perhaps even for an hour. Please don't take this as a rebuke. We have the finest church that I know of, and all I have to do is say the altar is open and people rush to the front, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm so grateful for a church that responds. We don't have to beg anybody to come to the altar. But you know, there was an old saying years ago, push, pray until something happens. You know, and when God sees that we're really serious about what we need or serious about getting somebody saved, I believe the rain starts. God starts pouring out his presence upon. I remember years ago coming to the altar, and I was so overwhelmed by the presence of God. Everyone had already left. My family was waiting for me, and I turned around and started walking to the pew. And I remember God driving me to my knees and said, I'm not done with you yet. I wonder if we could have some people in that place right now where, God, I'm not leaving until I feel that I got through, God, that there's going to be a deluge of your spirit. I don't want to go through another week again without this prayer answered. I want to see something happening in my family. I want to see a coworker saved. Something's got to go up before something can come down. Hallelujah. God forecast 100% chance of something coming down if we take something up. It's always a cause and effect. We do our part. God always, always does his part. Turn to Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 11. Starting in verse number 5, it says, and he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine is in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because of his consistency, his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. God, I've been asking you and asking you and asking you. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Hallelujah. If a son shall ask bread of any one of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? How much more does God want to respond to our needs? In 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, there is a terrible drought. Many people died and were dying because there was a lack of rain. But rain, or lack thereof, was only a symptom of the lack of people seeking God. Hallelujah. It would be a horrible thing if this church went through a drought. People dying because of a lack of prayer and praise. You hear me push prayer meetings all the time, prayer before service. Come on, let's pray. Let's get in touch with God before the service starts, because I don't want to drizzle. I want a deluge. I want God to move in the service. I want the visitor to come in and feel something that they have never felt before. People get the Holy Ghost before we even invite them to the altar. It can happen. God wants it to happen, folks. I want the rain to keep coming because it's cause and effect. If you'll turn to 1 Kings, if our musicians would come. 1 Kings chapter 18. Verse 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." This is during one of the longest droughts that they've had. People have been dying because of lack of water. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. What do you think he was doing? And he said to the servant, "Go up now, look towards the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again seven times." I'm praying, go up, check out the forecast seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand." And he said, "Go up and say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariots and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not." And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Head between his knees, kept praying, "Check it out, check it out, check it out." Seven times. "Naaman, you gotta be dipped seven times." Six times didn't work, seven times did. Hallelujah. Then our last scripture in Deuteronomy, 28th chapter. Verse 6, "Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou sittest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all of the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasures, the heavens to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all of the works of thy hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Oh, hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. Let's go to verse 14. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other good gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the land, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon the cursing vexation and rebuke, in that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The good and the bad. The cause and the effect. What do you want? Follow his word. Bless, bless, bless. Don't. To his people, you're cursed in this way and cursed in that way. Hallelujah. I want the blessings of God. Hallelujah. The way of the transgressor is hard, not the way of the saint. Hallelujah. We are a privileged people. God wants to give and give and give. He wants to take care of our problems and our enemies and our healings. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cause and effect. Yes. Always. We sing, let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Hallelujah. We sing that song. Something's got to go up before some rain comes down. Meanwhile, the angels are singing, let them pray. Let them worship. Let them pray. And then the windows of heaven will open and pour up a blessing that you cannot have room enough to contain. Send up Judah. It's the currency of heaven. I've said this so many times. You can't walk into the grocery store, fill up your cart, come to the checkout, and not have currency, not have money in order to pay for it to take it home. We can come in here, see all of the blessings that God has, but somehow we have to have the currency of heaven. God, I've been praying. God, I've been worshiping. Could I have it? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I'm so glad you asked. Hallelujah. Cause and effect. I know it happens. I know it happens. Hallelujah. You'll see what you've been praying for because God wants to give to us more than we want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Could you clap your hands to God? Wednesday, church is not canceled. I don't know if you got the information or not. No, we're not canceling church on Wednesday. Next Sunday, we're not canceling church. Sunday night, we're not canceling. Saturday morning, we're not canceling prayer meetings here Saturday morning. Because in the end times, God wants to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And the more we can send up, the year isn't over. But wouldn't it be great if one of your relatives was sitting next to you before Christmas? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? I want the right effect, but I have to do right. Amen. The altar's open. Would you come?